Father, Lord God, I just pray, Lord, that help us to focus on you this morning, Lord. Help us just lay our burdens down, Lord God. Help us to be thankful, Father. Help us just to learn what it is to have a personal relationship with you, Father. I think it's so easy for us to hear those words, personal relationship, but sometimes we don't really know what that is, Lord. I pray, Father, that you allow us, Lord God, help us, Father, to lay down our lives and our wants and everything, Lord, so we can actually hear from you, Father. So we can have that personal two-way relationship, Lord, not just us nagging at you or telling you everything that we want, Lord, but actually listening to you and telling us what you want for us, Father. Help us to be obedient children, Lord. Filled with your glory, Father. Help us to see it, Lord God. Help us to see past ourselves, Father. I pray that your Holy Spirit just fill this place today, Lord God. Be with us, Lord. So I have a confession to make. As we were practicing some songs, a lot of the time I'm like, oh Lord, you know, what song's going to encourage this person, or what, you know, what music should we do? And the rest of the songs, I just kind of felt like, you know, they're all Keith Green songs, and I absolutely love Keith Green, and he really encourages me. So as we're doing all these songs, I'm like, I don't know if everyone's going to know these, or what, you know, what about this, what about that? And it was really cool because Josh is like, well, Amy, maybe these songs are just meant to encourage us today. So I hope they encourage you, but I think today, I feel like a little bit today's kind of for our worship. So, but we can all enjoy it together. So. That we're doing it for you. Not to get a pat on the back. Not to get anyone to see us doing it, Father. Lord, we may go through this life doing the most amazing things, and no one will see it. And you know what? That's okay, Father, because you see it. And that should be good enough for us, Father. All I want to hear from you is, well done, faithful servant. Not, you were the best, or look at all these things you did. That's so great. Well done and faithful servant is good enough for me, Father. Lord God, just to be in your kingdom, Lord God, is wonderful, Lord. I don't need praise of men, Father. Help us not to do things to get praise of men, Father.
Make my life ready, you. I want to do what you want me to. No way.
Like I said, a lot of these psalms, I really feel like are meant for me, and it's really encouraging to me, because sometimes I get so caught up in everything that I'm doing, and I think, oh my goodness, I'm so busy, wham, 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 me, me, me. Lord God, I thank you for brothers and sisters in the faith, Lord God, that can encourage me and help me to get out of myself, Lord. As my daughter and I are reading The Hiding Place, I think about everything Corrie ten Boom went through, Lord God, and many other Christians like her. And here I am whining because my house is a mess and I have a lot on my plate. Father, forgive us, Lord, for not being able to see past ourselves, Lord God. Help us to remember those, Lord God, that are on the battlefront, Lord God, doing your work, Lord. Help us to remember those in missionaries, Lord God, and serving you, Lord God, nonstop, Father. Not making us feel guilty, but, Lord God, helping us to lift up our brothers and sisters, Lord, and not focusing so much on me or myself, Lord. Help us to see past ourselves, Lord God. Frustrated, Lord. Father, help me never to have a heart of ice, Lord. I always want to be led by your Spirit, Father. Help me to die in my flesh, Lord. This next song has really been on my heart for a while. You know, sometimes we can find ourselves going through the motions and, you know, always asking God, what do you want from me? But kind of putting ourselves and our wants first. And that discourages us because when we're not asking God what he wants for us, we're really just focusing on what we want. And when those things don't happen, we can get discouraged. But and then our heart gets kind of hard. And so this next song, My Eyes Are Dry, it's just, Lord, soften up my heart. Lord, I've been a Christian for a little while, and we can get calloused, but Lord, I don't want to be that way. So this is just me kind of crying out to the Lord, and maybe you find yourself there, maybe you don't. Maybe you know someone, you can pray for them while we sing this song. Just want to learn more and more and get closer and closer, Lord God, and that's enough for me, Father. Help us to have that pure abandonment, Lord God, so you can work through us, Father. I pray that you speak to us today, Lord God, and I pray that your word is heard. Amen.
Need a Bible, please raise your hand and Chris will get one to you.
Good church, Pastor. Everybody's got one.
I love it. Seen it. God's Not Dead 2 in the theaters. The Jesus Culture Let It Echo Tour is coming. If you'd like to go to that, you can go to joyfm.com. Also, From Bondage to Freedom Ministry. See Kelly as she's doing a lot of setup and planning. If you'd like to donate some finances, if you'd like to help out, talk with her. And she's arranging to get that ministry kicked off. And so if you would also just pray for her during the week, pray for that ministry. Because I'm sure a lot of enemy attacks against that.
Can I say something real quick?
Yes, you may.
Tom and I
Oh, that's right. Nate's not here today. I'm thinking, where's the mic running around?
It's up there on the easel.
Thanks, sorry. I'm used to NATO on the Lever girls just running a little microphone.
I just wanted to ask everyone's prayer for tomorrow. Tom and I are going to try to talk to the gentleman that has a hotel on 14th Street to use his property for the missions. So we just pray, everyone, if you could, or ask if you can pray for the gentleman's favor, the owner of the place, to allow us to use his property. We'd like to speak to him tomorrow. Can you catch him there?
That's awesome. That's awesome. Actually, we're going to stop right now. We're going to use that. Father God, we just pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord, for favor. With them, Lord, just that you would just pave the way. You would just go before, pave the way with them and allow that ministry. If that's the place where you would like them to set up, Lord, that you would allow that, Lord, that your word would go through there and your heart would go through that ministry, Lord God. Also for the county, Lord, and with all the stuff that's going on here at the church, we just pray as you pave the ways of people's hearts, Lord, that your will be done. So we pray these things. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good word, God. Also, we've got a loaner library back in the back door to the left. Tons of DVDs, tons of Christian audios. If you guys want to grow in the Lord, get equipped. There's no reason we can't. There's tons of stuff to do that. If we want to invite you, Christian books, free 2-week loaners. Just sign it out and then return it in 2 weeks. Also, audio teachings online. If you happen to miss one, prayer Sunday mornings here at about 9:30. If you want to join us here at and pray for the service. Also, the first Monday of each month, 7 p.m., Chronic Support Group, here at Home Fellowship Church is where it's going to be held now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, is there something you want to say, Carrie?
No, I just hope people will show up for it.
Okay.
And I just think it's going to be easier to have it here than in my home. That
okay.
It'd be more comfortable for everybody.
Is that going to be tomorrow?
Okay.
Yes, it's tomorrow.
So if you're
7 o'clock.
And for those folks who don't know, because it's for anyone who's suffering with chronic pain, physical, emotional, whatever pain, just to come out and be loved on, to be encouraged in the Lord, to be prayed over, to be blessed, to be a mutual place to share. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It's very hard for people that have chronic pain to have anybody to talk to about it. So this is a place where you're very comfortable because everybody understands what you're going through. It's really a sisterhood, and I'm very pleased with what God is doing.
Mm-hmm. Father, I do just thank you, Lord, for everybody here who's just suffering with chronic pain or distress. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to bless that venue, that living water would overflow from the mouths of whoever is there into one another, Lord God, from you, that you would refresh and restore, renew, and encourage in Jesus' name. Yes, you sure may.
It's not just pain, or it's not just physical pain, and you know, it's emotional pain too. You know, those struggling with depression or anything really that that brings you down. That like pain and depression both are robbers of God's joy. You know, and it's coming together to lift each other up and get that joy back.
I love it. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that too. You know, how many people do, like, every announcement, hey, can I say something? Sure, why not? Go ahead. I love it when God does that. Isn't that great? This Tuesday, we're going through the book of 1 Samuel, right? And so if you guys would like to join us, 5:30 for Frisbee, 6 o'clock for food, and then around 6:30 for Bible study, give or take. And Gary, is there anything you want to say about the mentioning this Tuesday?
Yeah, how to avoid falling off the mountaintop after a great experience.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. So we're going through the book of Samuel. We'd like to invite you out. That's this Tuesday at 6 p.m. dinner, 6:30 for the Bible study. Also, if you haven't signed up for the Armor of God Bible study that's starting next Tuesday, we want to encourage you to do that. And so see Lisa, and she'll sign you up. I think the book is like $12. If you don't have money and if that's going to hinder you from coming, this church is really generous. We don't have much, but we'll give. If you don't have it and you really want to take it, we'll give it to you in Jesus' name. We just want you to come. And I want to encourage the ladies, too. There's a bunch that signed up. And for some of the ladies, that was a victory. And so now getting here will be the next biggest victory. And then staying the 8 weeks as the enemy is attacking will be the next victory. One step at a time, right? Amen. Walking with the Lord. Victory in Jesus' name. I pray for you in Jesus' name. Also, Whosoever's youth group at Manatee County Youth for Christ, you guys are welcome to come, 6:30 to 8:30. We've got a good word, Identity Theft, part two, was last Wednesday. So you guys are welcome to come to that. Also, Thursday mornings, Working in the Word, from 9:30 to like 1 p.m., although sometimes people stay much later. And so we've got, I think, like last week we had about five people here. And so just do devotionals and going in the Word, getting in the Word. Thomas leading us in the Word at 9:30. And then we've got working in the church, outside the church, in the portable, cleaning toys, doing this, that. So if you guys want to just come out and get the Word and get, we pray together, we go into the Word together, Tom leads us, and then we're just working here around the church on the property, we'd love to have you. It's been really great for the folks that come.
Kids.
Yep, kids are welcome. So does that mean, are you talking about Pat? The other, oh, sorry. Yes, the younger kids are welcome. Okay. Also, Diane, where I saw you, there you go, Diane, and it's going to be at your house, right?
Friday.
Okay, Sue Berger is still out of town, and so it is going to be at your house, okay? That's Friday Forum, 7 p.m., if you're interested in that. Okay. Well, normally we're going through the Book of Romans, but we're not going to do that today. We've got a special guest teacher, and... George, would you do me a favor? Do you have the mic? I don't know where that
it's
is.
It's up there on the easel.
Is he mic'd up? Would you get him mic'd up? Or Josh, if you wouldn't mind. Thanks, buddy. I wanted to say something before we get started. And, you know, I don't know if anybody else is noticing this or just me, but, you know, the Lord gave me a word. I think it was that Tuesday morning devotional. I can't remember. But he gave me a word. And then he reminded me as Amy was singing one of the songs. And it's from Jeremiah chapter 6. And what the Lord did was he reminded me that this little church of ours is set kind of on a crossroads. And I remember that, I don't know, maybe it was a year ago, Mark Manley felt like the Lord was giving him a prophetic word. There's a sign out in front of our church. I don't know if you've ever noticed that before. And there's a sign that's one of those crossroads signs, you know, it's yellow. There's two arrows that go that way. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And we brother David, so much.
No.
And so, you know, there's a sign out there. He said, you know, he just felt like that the God has put this little church on a crossroads in people's lives. Where you can either choose, they're going to come, and they're going to choose to go God's way or not. That this is at the crossroads. And I don't know why that is, but I tell you, when he told me that, I felt like the Holy Spirit just charged that in my heart. And I just felt like that was from the Lord. And he reminded me that as he gave me this word in Jeremiah 6, verse 16. And this was just... for me, and this is what I prayed that morning, but it says, Jeremiah 6:16 says, this is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And I'm going to stop there for just a second, because, you know, we are standing at the crossroads. If you look at our culture, if you look what's going on, in our, I mean, even just amongst Christians, I mean, the attacks are off the charts. You know what I mean? It's like discouragement, depression, meanness, self-centeredness, selfishness, ungodliness. It's everywhere. It's crushing. If we don't stand firm in the Lord and in His mighty power,
that's right.
You know what I mean? We're going to be crushed. We're at a crossroads. And some of you are maybe at that point in your life where you have to choose, am I going to choose to walk with the Lord and surrender it all, or am I just going to walk with the world's ways? Which is it? You're at that crossroads, and God is saying to you, He's crying out, choose. He's like, look, ask for those ancient paths. His word is always a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That never changes. It's always the same. God is so awesome. He's so faithful. He's so true. His word doesn't change. It's just as powerful, just as real, just as applicable today as it was thousands of years ago.
That's what he says. Ask where that good way is and walk in it. Don't just ask where it is. Walk in it. Choose by the power of Jesus Christ to walk in that way. By his power. And then he says, then you'll find rest for your souls. And now here is the crossroads for me. You have a choice here. If you notice the last sentence in there, but you said, we will not walk in it. So there's the crossroads. You know, the Lord's kind of holding out life and death, blessings and curses. You choose. You get to choose. He loves us enough. And he says, you will find rest for your souls if you walk with me, or you can refuse them and reject them and not walk in it. And I want to encourage you to walk in the ways of the Lord. Yes.
This week, as I was studying the Word of God, in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I came across that word way in the Old Testament, and I looked up both words, and they were defined exactly the same. So if we read it with that definition, we can say, thus says the Lord, stand by Jesus and see. Ask for the ancient paths, which are good, Jesus, and walk in him, and you will find rest for your sins. I was astounded by that when I saw
it. That's the only way you're going to find rest.
Oh,
the only way. It's in Jesus.
Oh.
All right. Well, that is a reminder for the Word for the day. Paul, can you call me? PowerPoint, son. That's right. Now, Paul, you've been a missionary, to those of you who don't know, in Africa for a couple months now.
Just a few.
And so, actually, for many, many years in the slums of Africa, and I think God has really just blessed us by allowing him to be here and share at our church. Last time he came here, he gave a really challenging word. Let's be honest, right?
Yes.
But it was a good word, right? It was right on the money, wasn't it? And so I just want to take a minute and pray for this man and pray for us. Josh, I'm actually going to ask you to come up. No pressure. Would you come up here? And would you do me a favor? And would you just pray, if you would, over this man and just ask that God would bless him and bless our time together. And I'll hear what he has to say.
Dear Lord, we just pray for our brother this morning, Lord, that he can just articulate your spirit, Father, and that you would just give us ears to hear. Lord, just help us to humble ourselves, Lord God. We thank you for this morning. Just thank you for this brother. I remember his message the last time, Lord, it was powerful. I just pray that you'd use him in the same way and just challenge our hearts, Lord God. We just thank you for him. Lord, we just pray that you bless him, his family, Lord, and the things that he does, Lord God. Just please give him your word, Lord. Amen.
Africa. Region, East Africa. Most populated nation, Kenya. Most prominent city, Nairobi. Most disheartening distinction, rated as Africa's most violent city. Most stunning statistic, home to one of the greatest concentrations of urban slums in the world. Nairobi is a city of 4.5 million residents. 75% of them, or 3.3 million, live in slums. Some of the world's largest slums. The city officially has 199 slums. One of them is named Kibera. There are no squatters in Kibera. Everyone pays rent. For $20 a month, you can rent a typical dwelling, rusted scrap metal, or mud and stick walls that disintegrate during the rainy season. These pastors are living and serving in places you and I cannot go. These pastors are engaged in a daily battle against indescribable misery, poverty, despair, and sin. These pastors are reaching millions of people we will never reach. In a city where slum dwellers strive to live on a dollar per day, he receives $10 in tithes per month. Nairobi's Bible schools charge about $1,500 per year. Clearly, their doors are closed to these pastors struggling to feed their families on a dollar a day. These pastors have found refuge in a sea of shanty towns and slum shacks. And these pastors have found it directly inside their own slum, at the Disciple Support Ministries Bible Institute. We go into Kibera and into each of the 9 major slums of Nairobi, reaching thousands of pastors and ministry leaders, training them in God's Word right there in the slum, building the foundation on which all other ministry must stand. Enrollment now averages 160 pastors each semester. Over 400 pastors and ministry leaders have attended the Bible school in just the first 2 years. We have constructed and now operate 2 Bible schools, one in the Kibera slum, the other in Nairobi's second largest slum, the Mathari Valley. Disciple Support Ministries operates the only on-site Bible school and discipleship program exclusively for pastors who are living and ministering in the slums. Disciple Support Ministries provides systematic, expository teaching of the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, at no cost to pastors serving the least of our brethren. Our vision is to build a Bible school inside each and every one of Nairobi's 9 major slums. Our vision is to continue to provide tuition-free Bible training to the pastors serving God's people inside Africa's vast inner-city slums. Our vision is to make disciple makers. You are invited to find out more about Disciple Support Ministries. We welcome you to simply sign up for our monthly newsletter. It will bless you each month. It will let you see what God sees, and it will reveal to you His heart that does not change. His heart for the Great Commission. His heart for the pastors of the least in the slums of Africa.
Again, for the time to gather together again as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for, Lord, your patience with us as we sang this morning, your patience with us. And thank you for your kindness. We don't always acknowledge your kindness towards us, Lord. We pray that this morning that you would speak to our hearts, that you, Jesus, would be lifted up, that it would be all about you. And that when we leave here, we would be changed somehow, some way, to be more and more of what you want us to be, to give you glory and honor and pleasure. It's all about you. We invite you in, Holy Spirit. We ask you to open our ears and eyes and hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
We say in Kenya, we say, praise God. We say, praise God again, again, again. Thank you for having me back. It's hard to believe it's been a year. I'm sure we all have a lot of things that we've gone through this past year. As a matter of update, the ministry is doing very, very well. We've added 2 more pastors teaching now. We have 5 Kenyan pastors teaching at the Bible school. And the entire staff is indigenous Kenyans. Maybe somewhere in that video you might have seen me in a picture. I'm not hard to identify. It's like, find Walda. And the whole idea from the beginning was for them to have a ministry for themselves and by themselves, so that I've really become just invisible in the background. And it's my great pleasure to be here talking about them while the Bible school continues without me. We praise God for that. I'm going to begin this morning in John chapter 15. If you have your Bible. If you don't, you can share with your neighbor. John chapter 15, and then I'll be in James. John chapter 15, verse 1, here's what it says. Jesus himself is speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now that's what God does. He does the pruning. He does the judgment. If something's not bearing fruit, he's going to take it away. And if it is bearing fruit, he's not going to prop it up. He's going to prune it. Pruning is painful. I never heard a bush or a tree say thank you after you pruned it. But let's skip down now, down to verse 8. Now that we know what God does, we're going to look at what he expects from us. Verse 8 tells us, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So that's what God's expecting. He's expecting us to bear fruit. What he gives us, he's expecting a return, in a sense, on his investment. And he's invested everything. He's put himself into us. But he is looking for something to come back. Now, pruning is not something that's going to be a mountaintop experience for any of us. God gives us those moments of mountaintop experiences. And I enjoy them when I have them. I don't have them too often. I don't know about you. But when I do have them, I cherish them. But that's not the real Christian walk day in and day out. How does God prune us? Typically, he's going to prune us through adversity. Pruning is a way of restricting us. It's a cutting away. And not necessarily cutting away something as bad. And not necessarily something cutting away something we'd like to see gone. Just again, think of yourself pruning a tree. You're all from Florida, so you know orange trees and bushes and flowers and plants that you're trying to keep them blooming and bearing fruit. You've got to basically keep it the same size. You go past the orange grove, every single tree is exactly the same size, right? And there's just hundreds and hundreds of oranges on it. Because they're constantly pinching it back, restricting it. In a sense, it's a discipline. Now, if God's looking for fruit from us, he's not going to stop that process because we don't like it. Because most of us don't like it. We just like to be like that wild tree that just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing. And, you know, after a while, it just gets old and like you were singing this morning, just kind of old and not doing much. It looks good, but it's not bearing any fruit. So don't be surprised if you have that adversity in your life. Don't be shocked. Don't think, well, I need to enter a season where I don't have that. Praise God you have that. It means he's still working. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's turn now to James chapter 1. I'm going to go to a passage that you've all heard many, many times. And we're going to talk about patience.
May I James chapter 1. I'm sure you've heard somebody quote this to you, or you've heard it before. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing. Well, let's break that down a little bit. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, here's what that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean that we pretend we're having a good time. Because I've heard it used that way so many times. You know someone's going through a miserable time. How you doing, brother? And they say, oh, I'm just doing fine. Praise God, I'm going through a really hard time. And you know, no matter how sincere they're pretending, they're not sincere. Because nobody likes that. Or maybe you're going through a hard time and you're trying to express your heart that, you know, this is difficult. I have a problem with my family or with my work or with my health. I have a problem with this emotion. And somebody says, well, just count it all joy, brother or sister. And you're just like, you know, you just want to count like, that doesn't help me. That's not what I wanted. You know, so they're using this verse and they're kind of like slinging it at you as if that's going to, and it actually hurts. That's not what it means. Count it all joy doesn't mean we have this fake image that everything is okay and I'm pretending. Now, our Kenyan pastors do this. They try to do this. They have this expression where we always say, how you doing today? They all say, I'm fine in the Lord. And it's that little catch at the end that means I'm really miserable, but I'm trying to pretend I'm okay, and that I have an eternal perspective. Now, the reality is they live a miserable life. I mean, that's just a short clip of our video. If you want to see the whole thing, go online and see the whole thing. Their life is absolutely, I can't even describe it. And if I showed you videos and talked and talked and talked, if you stood there, you'd say, Brother Paul, you didn't tell me the half of it. You stand there as a grown man and you will weep if you stand in front of our Bible school. Poverty beyond comprehension, and you're never going to get out of it. It's not a matter of hard work and diligence and effort. You will never get out of that system unless you have a rich relative to pull you out. If you're sick, you're pretty much on your own. So if you get malaria, medicine's not going to help because you can't afford medicine. And if you do get medicine, 98% of it is counterfeit anyway. So you've wasted your money. So you find out the people who are living are the ones who have survived. And many of them don't. By the age of 5, most of them do not survive. So if you reach the age of 5, you're a survivor. So when they ask, how you doing today, that's a really pertinent question for them, because there's any range of catastrophes going on in our Bible school. That video is a little bit dated. We now average 250 to 300 pastors and ministry leaders at any one time. They represent hundreds and hundreds of churches and ministries. Some of our pastors have 3 to 4 churches. Most of them have 3 to 4 churches. Some of them have 85 churches. Wow. So this is a big thing. And they're coming in with big problems, themselves and their congregations. How are you doing today? I'm fine in the Lord. And of course, I rebuke them for that. We rebuke each other for that. Now we laugh about it. We say it, but it's okay to say you're not having a good day. It's okay to say I'm hurting. It's okay to say it's not all together. I can't say I have joy today. It's okay, because our joy is not because of the adversity. The joy, it tells you right there what it's for. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this. Here's where the joy is. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So out of this trial, something good, some good fruit is coming out. And that's patience. Now, how many of you would like to have a little bit more patience? Anybody in here? Mm-hmm. You'd like to have it right now?
Yeah.
It's not going to come that way. It's going to come a little bit at a time, one layer on top of another. And it's going to come largely through things that make you feel impatient. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to understand. Patience is not a gift from God. Patience is a fruit. It comes out. What God gives us is God gives us the grace to be patient. But He doesn't give us patience. Listen carefully. He gives us the grace to be patient. And then, in His divine wisdom, He'll put us in that little crucible of trials that makes us sense, I want this done. I want it finished now. And God says, this one's not going to finish now. This is the slow cooker. You know, it's like, any of you remember having a crock pot? Remember what a crock pot is? They still have them?
Oh, yeah.
Great stuff. And you got to have electricity, but I don't really. So, you know, the crock pot, for those of you who don't know, it's like this little ceramic pot. You plug it in. It has about the power of a light bulb. And you plug it in. You go to work. You come home. And you have this glorious meal, right? But it's a long, slow cook. As opposed to, you put it in, shut the door, beep, that's the microwave. Now, we like the microwave for our adversity.
Yeah.
Right? Like the microwave version. That's not the way it's going to work. And so I want to encourage you, if you're in that crock pot type of situation right now, there's no joy in that situation. The situation itself is miserable. The joy is going to be in what it's going to produce in you. Now, most of us have somebody in our life that we can think of who has that character. Maybe it was a grandparent. It's usually somebody older because they've been through this so many times that when we come to them all flustered, you know, it's that pastor or that grandparent or that neighbor that's elderly that says, easy, easy. It's going to be okay. Now, the situation may not be okay, but God's in control. So faith in God's sovereignty over the situation. Now, it's easy for me to say that. Imagine me saying to somebody living in those circumstances, you need to have faith in God. Well, where's God in that? The crime is beyond comprehension crime. When it's dark, when it's getting dark, you better be in your shack and shut the door. Because if you're outside, you're not going to make it through the night. The crime is that bad. Even the police don't go in there. They do not go in until the bodies are cold. In fact, when the police go in there, they go in with our pastors. Because our pastors are community leaders. The people trust them. So the police will stand outside the slum and wait for the pastor to come out. And then they'll walk in. How do you tell someone to have faith in that situation and to count it all joy? Again, it's not joy for what you're going through. There's not a single pastor in our Bible school, not a single one, who has not buried an immediate family member. That's a spouse or a son or a daughter. You won't find one. That's how prevalent death is. Now, I can encourage them that through this, God is going to do something of eternal value in his kingdom. Now, let me give you an example. If you were God, and that situation existed in the world, how would you reach those people? Well, you're going to put your foot soldiers in there, right? And they're going to preach the gospel, and they're going to live the gospel in that circumstance. And so my encouragement to the pastors is, please, stop trying to find a way out of the crock pot. God is looking for someone to stay in. Listen carefully. Stop trying to find a way out. God needs someone in there. When someone in that slum is going through, they've had a horrendous crime committed against them, they're being extorted by the thugs, they have medical problems and health problems and diseases, they can't pay their rent, or locked out of their house in one day, you lost your house and everything in it. This is day-to-day life. Now, if God wants to reach those people, is he going to use someone like me or someone who lives there? Amen. Now, think of yourself. You may not be in those circumstances, but your circumstances are no less important to God. He's looking for you to bear with patience. Amen. Patience. Now, let's continue down in James. And let's read what probably is the more important verse here. Because everyone's heard verse 2 and 3. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Knowing that testing your faith produces patience. But verse 4 is the one that's often not quoted. And yet, verse 4 is the point. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect. Or the King James says, that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So there's something for us to do in these circumstances. That is to let patience have its perfect work. We have to let go. We have to let go, get our hand off of the accelerator. Get our hands off the wheels. That doesn't mean that we're totally disengaged. It doesn't mean that we become lazy or we become hopeless. I'm not talking about that. Listen carefully. Letting go doesn't mean we're lazy. Laziness is sinful. It doesn't mean we're not engaged. Idleness is sinful. We're not talking about that. We're talking about not controlling and not trying to avoid that work that produces patience. Again, if we want to be more patient, and you ask God for patience, I guarantee you he's going to answer that prayer. But he's probably not going to answer it the way you want. Yeah. Have you ever experienced that?
Yeah.
Are you thinking of something right now that makes you impatient? It could be a person. It could be God himself. You're impatient with God. It could be a family member. It could be a circumstance in your life where it just rises up and we don't have that perspective that allows patience to come into us. You know, one of the issues with, as an example, the culture there is very different than our culture here, and the way they do things is very different than here. And it took me many, many years to kind of readjust my thinking. One issue that is a big issue is barrenness. if your wife is barren, it is culturally acceptable to just get another wife. You can keep the first one or not keep them. Whatever you want to do with the first one is up to you. But you definitely get yourself another wife or someone to bear children, because without children you have no standing in the community. And actually, you must have a son. If you just have daughters, daughters are good because you get dowry. But other than that, they're not valued. You have to have a son. So this culture is just seeped deep. So it's even in the church, you find people going through that trial, that adversity of barrenness. And I understand that. I went through that with my wife as well. She was barren for many years. God did something. But it was a painful process. It took many years. How do you encourage someone in that culture to say that's not righteous? You've been given a wife. The mentality that because my wife is barren, we've been cursed. Someone put a curse on us. Or my wife has come with a curse. There's something she's doing wrong. All this. And now to teach that, brother and sister, do you think God could use barrenness to minister to somebody who's barren? In other words, who's going to be the best one to minister to a barren couple? Another barren couple. So what is it that you're going through? What barrenness are you going through? What problem are you having in your own walk with the Lord, or your circumstances, or in your family, or in your work, and you're thinking, man, I just wish God would just answer my prayer and take this away. Listen, He very well may not take it away. And our inclination is to think, and this is oftentimes the case with our pastors, oh, Brother Paul, the devil's all over me. He's doing this and he's doing that. I say, wait. What makes you think it's the devil? Now, it very well might be. But it might be God. And in a sense, that question becomes irrelevant. Because the devil can't do anything without God's permission.
Amen.
Are we understanding? There's nothing you're going through, even by the hand of the devil, even by spiritual warfare, that God has not looked at. He's weighed it and said, I'm allowing this in your life. And my grace is more than sufficient. Now that requires faith. And that's how I'm going to build godly character in you. I'm not just going to give you character. I'm not just going to give you patience. You're going to have to trust. Now, I'm a firm believer in spiritual warfare. Trust me. I married a Brazilian. And my wife, Marcia, she told me from the beginning about spiritual warfare. And just having grown up in this culture, I was like, huh? What do you mean? You know, the devil and curses and demons and this and that. It's just not part of our culture to talk about that. Well, you know, I'll just airdrop you in there for a day. You'll figure it out real fast. Believe me, they come into the Bible school full of it. Mm-hmm. Witchcraft in the church. Animal sacrifice and offerings in the church. Polygamy in the church. Ancestral worship, fear of the dead, in the church. I'm not talking about outside the body of Christ. I'm talking inside the body of Christ. So when they come into the Bible school, there's all kinds coming in. And all kinds of issues. So yes, spiritual warfare is real. The devil is at work. We all have a target on our head. He is working against us. But I'm telling you that he cannot touch anything that God does not allow. Remember the story of Job. Now, it's easy to be patient. Listen, We talk about the patience of Job. You ever hear people say that?
Yes.
You need the patience of Job, or he has the patience of Job. You know, I'm honestly, I'm trying to find you. Because in the beginning of that book, okay, God allows the devil to take away his family,
his wealth,
his health. Everything is taken away, and Job is just as cool as a cucumber. He's fine. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Until someone accused his reputation. Right? His three friends started accusing him of being a man of sin, that this is happening to you because you have some kind of sin in your life. And then the next 45 chapters or so, Job is actually not a very patient man at all. And in the end of the book, he repents before God. How about you? How are you handling your adversity? You know, I in Nairobi, it's, don't get the impression all Nairobi looks like that. Nairobi is a highly developed city. It's about 5 million people now. It's about the size of Miami. And there's about 4 million people that live in those slum conditions now. And you could go into Nairobi and you would think you were in New York City or Hong Kong in many parts. It's very, very developed. I see more Mercedes-Benz in one day than you will see in a month. In one day. In one morning. In one morning, I will see more Mercedes-Benz than you see in a month. So there's a contrast of circumstances that is beyond comprehension. And consequently, it's an area of the world where it has some of the worst traffic known to mankind. Now, before I went to the mission field, I used to commute from Boca Raton in Palm Beach County to Miami in Dade County. So I went through three counties. It took me 2 hours to get to work and 2 hours to get home. And I would say, God, what in the world are you doing? I'm wasting 4 hours a day in traffic. I mean, I could be doing this for you. I could be doing that for you. I was in the long, slow cooker, really slow. Now, I didn't know how long this would last. I'm in this job for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Now you can just imagine my blood boiling on this circumstance. 4 years, God. Until I got to the point where I said, God, you know what? Whatever you want to do is okay. And when I got to that point, it all changed. Now I'm in Nairobi. 2 hours in traffic is a good day. Little did I know. I had no idea. That's a good day. Honestly, when I come home from the Bible school, it's an easy 2 to 2.5 hours just to get home. It's going to be a 16, 17-hour day. And I say, well, God, now I get it. You know, sometimes God's going to give you the joy to understand what he was getting at. But it's not just me knowing how to be in traffic. There had to be a change in my character. That I can be in traffic and still be a Christian. Because you can be in traffic and not be a Christian. Yeah. Amen? Like when you pull out of here today, you know, something can happen. You say, oh, I want to be patient today. I want to be patient. And it's easy to be patient when the old lady is walking across the street, right? In front of your car, you know, I gotta get to work. I'm gonna be a good Boy Scout today and just be patient. That's easy. But how about when you're at the same intersection and it's a young a young kid with his pants down to here, and he's got his cell phone. Right? Now are you patient? Because that one's a little bit harder, isn't it? Because, you know, he shouldn't be doing that. The old lady can't help it, but he should know better. Patience. Patience is a good thing. Yeah, we're getting somewhere, aren't we? Let me make this a little bit more practical for you before we close. A couple things that we can do. Number one, let's remember that patience is not a gift. It's a fruit. It's not a gift. God will not give you patience. It's a fruit. He's going to give you the circumstance to develop that and the grace to get through that so that good fruit comes out. Amen?
Amen.
So let's not resist it. Let's not just pray for that supernatural character. God doesn't give us character. He gives us grace. And he does give us gifting and gifts. But patience is not a gift, it's a fruit. And so, again, that idea of, well, is this circumstance I'm going through, is it from God or is it from the devil, almost becomes irrelevant, again, because God's in control. Amen? So we can pray against the devil and his warfare, but at the end of the day, there's no warfare without God's permission. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, what can I say to someone born in the slums? You're born there. Listen, you're born there. You will die there. There is no option to get out. You cannot get out. There's nowhere else to go. That's your life. So if you're in that life without patience, you're not going to be a very good vessel of God's grace. You're not going to be a very good witness. So let God work that into our life. Number one, patience is not a gift, it's a fruit. Number two, patience is a tool that exposes the hand of the devil. Now he is working against you. And if you have enough patience, his hand will be revealed. You'll see his hand in that situation. You will know how to pray. You will know how to respond. You will know how to act and behave like Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You just need to take enough time and let the spiritual reality be revealed. Eventually, you'll see his hand if he's involved. But he's very cunning. Sometimes you can't figure out which. Yeah, we oftentimes think the problem is the person or the circumstance. We don't know that behind it is a spiritual string attached to everything. Amen?
Amen.
And with time, it's revealed. Patience is not a gift. It's a fruit. Patience is a tool that exposes the hand of Satan. And number three, we want to practice the perspective of patience. Let me explain. The devil is very patient himself. He's a very disciplined soldier. He is very focused. He is very persevering. And he's very patient. He will wait until the most opportune time to have a maximum impact on your life. Let me give you an example. Pastors that we serve, or you could use any of ourselves as an example, if there's some secret sin in your life, the devil will allow that to continue for a very long time. So long that after a while you might start to think, it's okay with God. He accepts me the way I am. Mm-hmm. God knows, but I do so much good that this little bit of evil is not so bad. God's allowing me to. God's being gracious to me. No, he's not. He may be patient with you, but he's not accepting it at all. And we begin to come under some kind of a delusion that it's okay to carry around this one little thing. And as I'm saying that, many of you would know what that one little thing is. Because most of us have one or two of them. Here's what the devil doesn't have. He has patience. But his patience has a limit. Because his time is short. And his judgment is coming. Listen carefully. His time is short. So if after a certain period of time, your patience exceeds his patience, he'll move to someone else. He will do that. If your patience exceeds his patience, he'll move to someone. Now listen, I see this all the time in ministry over there. By God's grace, I've endured 14, almost 15 years of ministry there in spiritual cesspool and conditions that I really can't describe to you. But it's like, it's bad on steroids. It's really bad. And people do witchcraft against me and my family all the time. And people come with curses into the Bible school all the time. We've had people in the Bible school all the time. Witch doctors, you name it. People in the class identified coming in with a curse. And somehow I've survived. And people coming to me, oh, Brother Paul, I had a dream about you last night. Be careful about this. God has shown me this. Some of it is true, some of it's not. But it's constant, constant, constant. But I'll tell you this. God's worked patience into me. And many times, just when the devil's about that close to victory, he moves on to someone else. Be patient. Let God work in you. Patience for us is different. We need to be persevering, we need to be focused, we need to be disciplined, we need to be enduring, just like the devil is. However, we have something he doesn't have. We have faith in a sovereign God.
Amen.
He doesn't have that. Like him, also, our time is short. Our time is short. However, our time is short and our judgment is coming, like him. But our judgment is for commendation, not condemnation. We're going to be commended and rewarded.
Amen.
He will be thrown into Gehenna. We understand?
Yes.
So our time is short, but our perspective needs to be completely different. In the end, reward.
Amen.
In the end, rest for us. In the end, eternal peace in the presence of God. And so our perspective on patience should always begin with this. We win in the end. That's it. This, in a sense, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what we're going through if we're standing with Jesus. In the end, and guess what? The end is very short.
Yeah.
Next year, this time, some of us might not be here. Amen?
Amen.
Now this, you know, I shared it with our pastors, and it's not a month that goes by that someone's not with us. It's that serious. But somehow we think because we're so insulated from the circumstances of life here, we have so many layers of protection and security and plans, and that we think it's not going to, it can be gone in a moment.
That's right.
In a moment. So let's practice that perspective of patience. Our patience is different than the patience of the enemy. In the end, we win. And in the end, we are rewarded. Amen?
Amen.
Last thing. God is into submission training. I think I get nauseous every time I see a leadership training program. Nairobi's full of them. Church leadership program, youth leadership program, community leadership program. Leadership, leadership, leadership. Where's the submission training? We need submission training.
That's right.
Isn't that what Jesus did before he went to the cross? He submits it. Let me wash your feet and show you something. You'll never forget this. This is going to be a parable. This is going to be an acted out story you'll never forget.
Let me wash your feet.
So, please don't buy into this culture that is seeped into the church with this overemphasis, out of balance emphasis on leadership. By blazing a trail and leading all the flock, and you know, we're gonna let our kids be lead. Our kids need training in submission more than anything else. And if you're a parent, say hallelujah. Exactly. And guess what? We're all children of God, and he's up in heaven saying, hallelujah. Because we all need it. Even the parents need it. We need to submit. And that's where patience gets exercised. It's not in me controlling you and the circumstances, and you just need to line up, and you know, you need to get with the program, and all this like pressure, because I'm trying to control my circumstances. Easy. Even as a parent, I need to back off a bit and show my children submission. Mm-hmm. And even submitting to my family. Not in an ungodly way, but in a godly way. Jesus did not demean himself by washing the feet of his disciples. He's still the leader. But he's leading in a different way. Patience is all about submitting. And when we've submitted, then God can work. When we keep pushing against it, we're shutting him out. We're on our own. You gotta carry the cross yourself. Amen?
Amen.
So, being a teacher, it's time for your test. I gave you 4 points. If anybody knows all four, I'm going to give you a prize today. Anybody? Does anybody know all four? I'm checking because I hope I'm not reading. Patience is a
fruit.
Not a gift.
Not a gift.
Patience is a tool. Reveal the hand of the enemy. Practice the perspective of patience, which is eternal, right? In the end, we win. And patience is about submission. Now, if you got all four of those right, I do have a prize for you. It's a one-way ticket to Nairobi. You can collect it at the back. Are we getting somewhere today?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what's going to happen. Within 24 hours, you're going to have a test by his hand. We understand that?
Yes.
And it's going to come from an angle you're not expecting, not the usual typical things that test your patience. It's going to be something more powerful than that.
Yeah.
And I want you to try to embrace that and realize that you're going to count it joy, not because it hurts, not because it's pushing your button. You're going to count it joy because God is going to build character in you that he can use. That's where the joy is. Let patience have its perfect work. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. On your way out, do you want to know how to pray for those pastors and pray for us? Please sign up for our newsletter. We'll know how to pray. That's the best thing you can do for us. You coming over to help me doesn't help me too much.
No.
You praying for me and for those pastors helps more than you can ever, 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 ever imagine. So, and in the back with your newsletter, you'll find one of these. Put this in your Bible. When you see all those pastors, you pray for them. Pray for their brothers. They're part of the body of Christ. And just thank God you're not there. Thank God it's not you. I thank God it's not me. Because when I'm done teaching them, I get to go home to my house and I actually get to use a toilet.
Yeah, amen.
And I have toilet paper in my house.
Amen.
They don't have toilet paper. And put this one on your refrigerator or somewhere. When you see us, pray for us. If you put it in your refrigerator and you don't pray, you'll gain 20 pounds. Thank God. Thank you, God bless you.
You know, what a blessing. You know what? Just thank the Lord and please do pray for him. What a blessing that he would come here. Thank you. And share that with us. You know, guys, just taking the time and effort. What a God is blessing you right now through him and through that ministry. And for those of you who are new, you know, just pray. You know, last semester, last year, we were able to provide get enough money to provide for 80 Bibles, a brand new Bible, for each one of the 80 pastors in training. And this church, your giving, God used you to provide a Bible for each one of those pastors. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
And there's another semester that's coming up here, and he just told me there's another 55 students coming in. And so I just want us to pray about it and maybe share with the leaders if you feel like this would be a good investment for our little church. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord is leading to be able to provide all of those new pastors, 55 of them, with brand new Bibles, and to do it in Jesus' name, because they are our brothers. Isn't that awesome? Let's take a minute and let's pray and let's give thanks to the Lord. Father, we just want to say thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your word, Lord God, that is going forth, Lord. I pray that it would permeate our hearts, Lord. Lord, I just pray that I'll help remember, Lord, just your patience and your fruit coming from the inside out, Lord. Lord, I pray that I would look at those things as opportunities, Lord God. It's so difficult to do that, but I just pray in Jesus' name that you'd help each one of us, Lord, just to bear fruit and fruit that would last and to have your perspective. I pray in Jesus' name for all those right now who want to dig their heels in. Lord, when you're trying to do a work for God and digging our and getting mad and stomping our feet, Lord, that you would rearrange our perspective. I pray for each one of us, Lord, some here, some right now, who want to run. I pray in Jesus' name, God says to you, don't run. Let him produce the fruit so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking. And I'm just going to leave you with a verse that I feel like the Lord pressed upon my heart, 2 Chronicles 20:17. In whatever situation you're facing, God says, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, for the Lord be with you. So whether that trial comes, Lord, in 24 hours, 24 minutes, or in 24 seconds, Lord, may we have your eternal perspective. We love you and bless you and ask you to bless those Bible college, Bible training pastors, Lord God, in ways that we can't, Lord God, that they would reach many for you. And again, each pastor and person who's working down there, Lord God, Paul, Marsha with their surgery, Lord, all those things, Lord, just surround them, bless them, inspire them, and encourage them. And we ask this, and we ask you to do that same work in us. In Jesus Christ's name, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus Christ.